Today's scripture reading comes from 1 Corinthians 9, verses 19 through 27. That's 1 Corinthians 9, verses 19 through 27. Though I am free and belong to no man, I made myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man, running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man, beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. May God bless the reading of his word.
Well, it has finally happened. For those of you who, probably many of you already know, May and I have moved successfully to Franklin Park from Freehold. It happened on February 9th, and this is our home where we live. Go ahead and throw it up there. It's coming. I took some pictures after the big snowstorm. It was very beautiful. We thank the Lord for making this possible, finally. It is really to His grace. We've been waiting for some time for this to happen. We were supposed to move in December, and it didn't happen until February 9th. There we go. Yes, I shoveled that driveway. Yes. May and I have been married 15 years, going on 16. And we have moved 8 times. In that period, so we're like thinking about 2 years, I guess, every time we move. But thankfully, the last period of time in Freehold, we were there for about 7 years or more, and so we had a good time to grow some roots there. But now we're here in Somerset, Franklin Park, and we're looking forward to be here for a long, long time, and so we don't have to move. You know, as you grow older, moving gets tougher, and because you just don't like change as much. It's not as easy to change, and so we really don't want to move again, Lord willing. It's a blessing because it only takes us about 10 to 15 minutes, depending on traffic, to get here now to this location. We're about 30 to 40, 45 minutes from Freehold. So it's really God's blessing, and we are so thankful for that. You know, I find it interesting moving into a new neighborhood because, you know, you go into and you don't know anybody. You know, you've looked at the house and you've decided to buy the house, but you don't know your neighbors. I don't think many people would go and interview their neighbors before they move in. You might try to casually talk to them, but we didn't do that. So I've been trying to notice things about my neighbors since we moved in. Like what kind of cars do they have? How many cars do they have? When do they go to work? When do they come home? spy on them, yes. I mean, I'm not sitting there all day long because, of course, I got my own things to do too, but as we notice these things, you know, how many kids do they have? Do they have kids? How many people live in their house or not? You know, you want to know who's next door. You're glad you don't live next to me, huh? Yeah. But it was interesting. We've gotten to know our neighbors, two of our neighbors, one across the street now and one next door to us to our right. And the one next door to our right, Victoria, she actually made muffins and brought them over to our house. Now, isn't that nice? That was so nice. So I'm thinking, wow, chalk one up for our neighborhood, you know, there. And then we had a question. We were trying to figure out who could we get to clean our chimney so we don't burn down our house if we light a fire. We just want to make sure. So we walked across the street, May and I did, to our neighbor there, and we knocked on the door and were waiting to see. We saw them come home, so we knew they were home. And we were waiting for them to come to the door, and we noticed something above their front door. It was really interesting. Go ahead and throw it up. Have you guys ever seen something like this? This is right above their front door. No, it's not a Nazi swastika. So I was thinking the same thing at first. I was like, wow, what kind of neighbors do I have? And so we went in. She invited us in. Actually, Angelie is her name, and she invited us in. We talked and everything. And then on the way out, May asked her about that. And she said, oh, yeah, that's something that our priest painted above our door as he was blessing our home when we first moved in. So does anybody know what kind of symbol that is? Yes? That's right. It's a Hindu religious symbol. That's right. So learned something about my neighbor there. So very interesting. May and I hope and pray that we can become friends with our neighbors as we live there longer over the years, and then when we have opportunity to share Christ with them, because Christ is a part of our life. It was interesting when she found out I was worked at a church. She's like, oh, you're a holy man. Oh, that's good luck. You know. So I was like, okay, that's great. Yeah. But building friendships takes time, and it takes effort, and as we have opportunity. So this is something that we would really seek your prayers on as we get to know our neighbors in our new neighborhood in Franklin Park. Now, we as Christians are to connect with people in the community, with the people that God brings into our lives, and this takes intentionality on our part, and it takes a lot of thought and prayer on our part if we really take this seriously. And we do this by building bridges. We do this by building bridges. What I mean by that is, and that's a message title today, building bridges, is by just offering our friendship, by trying to become friends. Not that it will work out, because naturally some people don't want to be our friends. So it's not going to happen. But we try to offer them our friendship. And with friendships, often we can start with some kind of common ground. You notice this when you first meet somebody. Say you met somebody today when you were greeting and you don't know them. You're trying to find some kind of common ground with that person so that it's like a beginning of conversation. And that's why weather is often a good topic to start with, right? Because everybody experiences the same weather. We got that all in common. So like this past weather storm, right, the snowstorm, we've all experienced that. So that's something we can just talk about. I don't know. I think I talked to three people about shoveling or something today. Respect to that. That's something common we can begin with. I remember one time in my life, I was a young adult, and it really sticks out in my head for some reason. I went to this friend's church to some event, and I was single at the time. And then I, after the event of that, I don't even remember what the event was, but afterwards we kind of gathered as young adults. There must have been food. And we were gathering there talking, and they introduced this one guy to me that I hadn't, you know, I didn't know. So they told me his name. Excuse me. And it didn't ring a bell. But once we met, this guy and I were like, wait a minute. We should know each other. We've seen each other somewhere before. And we just couldn't figure it out. We couldn't remember. So we started talking. I was like, everybody else is excluded. Now we're just trying to figure out, how do we know each other? So we started talking about, what do you do? Where did you go to school? You know, and we started trying to find that common experience we had, because we were just convinced of it, but we couldn't remember where it was, and we didn't remember each other's names either. So after about 30 minutes of this, trying to dig into each other's lives and everything, finally we found out what it was. It was like years before, we went and both attended some Christian conference, like a four-day-long conference in Colorado. And now this is in Massachusetts. We're both from Massachusetts. And that's where we knew each other from then. But, of course, we didn't really, like, know each other. We just remembered that we were both there. Actually, I think we were in the both same small group. So it was pretty bad that we couldn't even remember each other's names. But, yeah, after we figured that out, we were like, wow, that's really bad. But, anyway, we were both in the same boat. But, you know, finding common ground with people is so important to building that relational bridge with them, so that we can then introduce Christ to them, because Christ is a big part of our life, and that's just a natural sharing that happens. for me and May and our neighbors, that's easy, right? We live in the same neighborhood. That's a common ground right there. So we naturally have something to talk about and then, that we're all invested in. How can we build relational bridges with people that are quite different from us, that are really different from us? How can we do that? It takes a lot more work, doesn't it? We can do it by following the two steps that the Lord gives us through the Apostle Paul in our text. He offers these instructions to us from his own life and his own experience with the Lord working through him. And we see the first step to building bridges with people is by adapting to them. Listen to the verse 22 in chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians once again. If you have your Bible, go ahead and open it up to there. We're going to be plugging our way through this text. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22. If you need a Bible, just raise your hand, and one of our ushers will bring a Bible that the church has available. Anybody need a scriptures? Just raise your hand. There's one right there. Thank you. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to just look at the latter part of verse 22 right now. Paul wrote there, "I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some." But what did he mean by these words? I think of foreign policy for a country. It's very important. Hillary Clinton, right, our Secretary of State, goes and visits other countries of the world and represents the United States. And she is the representative of our foreign policy, the State Department. And that just means is how do we, the United States, relate to other countries of the world? And how we do that, that's our foreign policy. And it adjusts from president to president, really, on his philosophy. But overall, it's pretty consistent. Foreign policy dictates how we relate. And so therefore, we can look at this text and these verses here, this verse, as kind of the Christian foreign policy, is that we become all things to all people so that by all possible means, we might save some for the name of Jesus Christ, for our Lord Christ. That could be looked at as our foreign policy. And the Apostle Paul wrote this text as part of a larger letter called we call 1 Corinthians. It was to the church in Corinth. And Paul, as you read this letter, you can be convinced that he has a love and compassion for people. He wanted them to hear and believe in Jesus. First and foremost, that was his beating heart. And he would always go to the synagogues first to talk to his own people, the Jews, and give them first chance. And then he would move to who we call the Gentiles, those who were not Jews, people from all different kinds of ethnicities and beliefs, and he would share the gospel with them. But, you know, he was a Jew. That was a fact. And he was called by God to share the gospel to those who were anything but Jewish. That was his primary goal, was to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the Gentiles, the non-Jews. And as I said, they had different cultures and beliefs and ideas and histories, and they didn't even know much, if anything, about the stories of the Old Testament, like about Adam and Eve, about King David, Moses, Daniel. They weren't familiar with those, most likely. Maybe many of them didn't even know the Bible existed, the Old Testament scriptures, because they were Gentiles. They didn't have that background, that history in their people. So how did Paul effectively reach these people with the truth about Jesus Christ, being a Jew himself, so different from them? Well, he built bridges that connected to their cultures in a way that then he could share Christ with them in a way that they would understand or be able to at least interact with and not just brush off, like, no, I don't know what he's talking about. Do you? No, I don't know. And no, they would be able to understand. You saw that last week when Pastor Ian preached on making the unknown God known. Paul used something in their own culture to talk to them about this unknown God that they had already acknowledged and made him known as the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how Paul connected to people that were quite different from him. Now, unfortunately, many people, Christians especially, tend to live in two extremes, I'm going to call. And I need to explain these before we get a little bit more into the scriptures here. One extreme we'll call radical difference. okay? And the other extreme we'll call radical identification. And these are two extremes that Christians can often flip-flop from one to the other as we try to relate to people that are very different from us. It could be different faiths, different ethnicities, different cultures, whatever. We may flip-flop from one to the other, especially when we deal with people who are unconvinced, meaning those people who don't believe in Jesus Christ as Lord. So when we live in either of these extremes, we'll see that it really damages our message of Christ that we're trying to give to the others that are in our life. And let me explain these two extremes. First, the radical difference. This is when we have something like a closed corporation mentality, like a Christian isolationism. It's like we live in a Christian bubble. Everything's Christian. We've surrounded our lives with Christian everything, Christian music, Christian books, Christian friends. And none of this is necessarily wrong in of itself, but we have like little if no experience of anything else. Everything we do is like Christian. The clubs at school are Christian. The friends we have are all Christians. The activities we do are Christians. We do everything with other Christians, and that's it. We are in our little bubble. We're just surrounded this way. And so, sure, we have people who are not believers in our lives, but we don't seek them out. We don't hang out with them because they may have a bad influence on us, because they may, you know, drink and get drunk or smoke and things that they shouldn't smoke or, you know, snort things they shouldn't snort or whatever. You know, we just don't connect with them. We don't seek to because they may have what we think a bad influence on us. And so we stay away from them. And we don't connect ourselves with them really because we don't know how to connect with them. They are so different from us. We don't feel like we have anything in common with them. And so it's very difficult. And so therefore, we don't have this natural bridge, a relational bridge, to share Christ with them. So when we do share Christ with them, it's more canned. What I mean, it's more like formal. It's more forced. And it's almost like we're trying to market Jesus to them, you know? Pull out our four spiritual laws and go through it with them. Because the relationship isn't there. And so therefore it's so stilted, and it's hard to share Christ in a way that they can accept and relate to, because we just don't understand them. Now the other extreme is radical identification. Radical identification is when we fail to have really any difference with those who don't believe in Christ, those who live by the world's ways, and we've just identified totally with them, that we just blend in. You know, we're just like one of them. And there's really no real difference between us and them. And so there's this radical identification with them. And so we have an audience of friends, but we don't have a message really to share, because there's really no difference Christ has made in our life. We are exactly like they are, it seems, for all purposes. And so many times Christians, we might live with split personalities. You can evaluate yourself right now. Is when you're at church and when you're with your Christian friends, you're like radical difference. You know, you're like, oh yeah, I'm Christian and we do everything Christian. But then maybe when you're at work or when you're with a group of people that do not believe in Christ, you might flip-flop and be radical identification with them. You just blend in and do what they do, the sinful practices, things that are wrong, and it's like they can't tell any difference about you. And so those are the two extremes that we struggle with. But for us to effectively witness for Christ Jesus, to live for Him, to represent His truth and His Word, we've got to balance these two. We can't be radical difference or radical identification. We have to have this middle road, this balance between the way we live in that way. And therefore, then we can see the effective bridges be built relationally with people so that they can trust us. And sincerely, we can be friends with them, no matter what their response is. And this is what Paul meant about this balance when he said, I have become all things to all people, to all men. So how do we adapt to others without compromising our faith, without going to one extreme or the other? Well, we do this by practicing our freedom in Christ by giving up our personal rights. And this is what Paul was talking about before our text. Is he was talking about an issue there of having the right to receive monetary reimbursement or funding being a preacher for the gospel, but he said, you know, I give that up because I don't want anything to hinder the gospel being preached. I want to just work and support myself so that the gospel can be free. Nobody can claim that it's cost something. And so he gave that right up. And then he goes on to this other issue of application of that. Look at verse 19. He says of our text here, though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. Now, I like the English Standard Version of this verse better because listen to what it says here, and I'll throw this up on the screen. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. Now, the Greek word for slave in the New Testament and servant is the same. They can be translated either way. And so I like the word servant better because in our context today, it's hard for us to relate to being a slave because we don't have that experience. But we have at least some observations or whatever of servants, and that can connect more with us. Joseph Aldrich wrote in his book called Lifestyle Evangelism the following. I quote, when freedom to share with others by stepping across falsely imposed boundaries is recognized, a Christian must be sensitive to the problems and challenges such a step poses. He must be ready to enter another culture without rejecting it, but without selling out to it either. See, a servant pays very close attention to the one they're serving. A servant is watching somebody to see how they can meet that need, understanding what their need is, and trying to understand their language in a sense of how they communicate that need. And so you really have to be observant of the people that you desire to serve. And so when Paul says, I am a slave to all men, he's saying that his desire is to serve them in that sense. He wants to know them, to connect with them so that he can share Christ. He's serving them in that way by sharing the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, forgiveness of sins with them. And so he can do that by literally speaking their language, like he did in Athens, right? He used something in their culture to present the gospel of Christ in a way that they might better be able to understand. I think of this story that I heard about this Christian guy who worked at this place, and he had a coworker who just, he didn't believe in Christ, and he was just foul-mouthed. He swore this and that, and he used Jesus Christ a lot as one of the swear words that he would often use. And so this Christian guy had talked to him gently at times and just said, you know, could you not use that around me? But he, little gentle hints or whatever, didn't work with this guy. He just kept using the name of the Lord Christ in a sinful way. And that, not sinful in his sense, it is sinful, but in a way that was just like damaging to the name of our Lord, and it really hurt this Christian guy. So the Christian guy got an idea. So one day, out of the blue, the Christian guy said, hey, Dave, this guy's name, he says, did you know your mom's an idiot? And the guy looks at him and goes, what are you talking about? And then the Christian guy starts saying some other like harsh remarks about his mother. And, you know, Dave is like, what? What are you? And, you know, and he's getting all upset. And then Dave says, okay, right before you smack me, just hold on a second. Let me explain why I'm saying that. He says, you were really deeply offended by what I said about your mother, right? And Dave's like, right. And he's like, well, when you say things and you use the name of my Lord Jesus Christ in a similar way, it hurts me too. And for the first time, when they started to talk about this, that guy started to be able to listen maybe and understand how him using the Lord Christ name would affect this Christian guy. And it created a conversation going. So the Christian guy had to learn how to speak in a language that his coworker could understand a little bit. And, you know, all of us might not be able to approach it that way. That's a little confrontative. I don't think I could do that. But it is learning how to speak each other's language or connect in people in creative ways. And the Apostle Paul wrote how he became all things to all people. He describes this. Look at verses 20 through 22. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. And here he's talking about Jews, naturally, and then those under the law, meaning maybe those non-Jews who are converts to Judaism, who are obeying the Old Testament commands of Scripture. And to those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law. And now he's talking of the Gentiles. Those who are not Jews don't practice the Jewish faith, but they are outside of the law of the Old Testament because they don't even know about it. And so as to win those not having the law, to the weak I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men so that by all possible means I might save some. And because he was free in Christ, Paul could serve others and set aside his own rights in order to share Christ with people on their in their culture, in their context. He would put aside his own personal preferences so that he can then enter into their world and share Christ in a way that they can understand. Listen to another quote from Joseph Aldrich from Lifestyle Evangelism. He says here, very key, "The more mature we are in Christ, the better prepared we are to penetrate deeply and effectively into our non-Christian communities. The mark of true maturity is not withdrawal, it's penetration." You know, it's very much missions, where a missionary tries to learn the culture, the language, the people of who they're trying to reach. It's exactly the same principle right here. We are trying to study those that God brings into our lives and then build bridges with them. Not as a marketing tool, because then if they reject us, we just go on to the next person, right? No. But it's because we value them because God values them, because they are his creation too. So we are not here to live our lives for our own, for ourselves. We are here to and called by God to live for him and for others, to share Christ with people of this world. And we are called to build these relational bridges by adapting to them in ways that we can communicate them better. And those who are around us, that God brings into our life, we are to share the truth of Christ with them. So think of all the people, if you counted up all the people in your life right now that God has connected you with, how many people would that be? It'd be quite a few, wouldn't it? Hundreds? I mean, don't count your Facebook friends. I mean, you know, I wouldn't call that real connection. I'm talking about face-to-face, you know, connection. Maybe weekly or monthly connection, you know. Not you see them once a year, you know, something like that. So how many people would that be? I'm guessing at least hundreds for each of us. That's a large pool of people to have influence and connect with in the name of Christ, whether they be brothers and sisters in Christ where we can encourage them in their faith in Christ, or those who don't believe who we can share Christ with. There's a lot of opportunity out there. If our unconvinced friends, our unbelieving friends play golf, learn to play golf. Go and play golf with them. Try to have them teach you how. Or if they go fishing, learn to go fishing or go fishing with them, have them teach you. Mountain biking or swimming or whatever it is, you may not originally think that's very interesting to do, but make an effort to learn about them. If they have another faith that they believe in, learn about that faith. Ask questions about it. And then you might be able to, it's like Paul walking through Athens, right? Looking at their thing and then he's deciding, oh, he's going to use this statue to the unknown God and let them know about who that is from his point of view. So why should we adapt to others? Why should we build bridges? It's because that's what Christ has called us to do, to go and make disciples for him in the name of Christ Jesus. And it's by all possible means so that we might save some in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, we are not marketing Jesus. This is not what we're about. We are not marketing Jesus. We are making relationships that are permanent and lasting and meaningful in the name of Jesus Christ. And when we offer Christ to them, many times they'll be rejected. But that still means we're friends with them. Might not be buddy-buddy, you know, intimate, but we will be friends with them because we respect them and their decision. Now, what are the results when we connect to people in the community by building these bridges and sharing Christ? Let's look at verse 23. Verse 23 says, "I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I might share in its blessings." Philemon, verse 6, there's only one chapter in Philemon. I'm reminded of that verse as well. That's up on the screen. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. You see, the more we share the gospel of Christ, the more we share about Jesus to those in our lives, the more we share in the blessings that God has for us. The abundant life that Jesus talks about, it's connected to us sharing about Him to others. It's the way it works. We share Christ, we grow in Christ, we experience Christ, and we share in the blessings of Christ Jesus. Jesus effectively shared His message because of His identification and His difference to the people of His day. He identified with the culture in ways that made the religious leaders of His day outraged at Him. But those people that He ate with and He spent time with were called the low caste of society. He had friends who were prostitutes, right? It was unheard of for a rabbi, a teacher in that day to have those kind of associations. But at the same time, while He was identifying with these people, they that knew Him and learned about Him, that connected with Him, they immediately saw that He was different because of His righteousness, the standards He lived by, the words He used, and the compassion He had for them. So even though they felt like He's identifying with us, they knew that He was quite different from them. And so you see that balance He had, identification and difference in His life. People knew that Christ was different. So when we build relational bridges with people in the name of Christ by adapting to them, we see in the text here, we do it by working hard at it. It's not easy. It takes a lot of work to build bridges, physically, if you've ever tried building a bridge, but relationally as well. Now, verse 24 says this in our text, "Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize." So, Sandy, I don't know where you're sitting right now. She's a runner. Oh, right there. When you run a race, any of us who have ran a race, we don't just go for a jog, right? We sprint if it's a short-distance race, or if it's a long distance, you don't jog. You got to pace yourself. It's all strategy. You focus. You concentrate on winning that race. And this is what the principle is here. It's not that only one Christian gets the prize in the end, but we as Christians run our life. Our life is the race. We run as if there's only one of us going to get the prize. And I want to be that one, right? I want to win. And so we run with everything we have. And that means by working hard at it. Listen to verses 25 through 27. "Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training." That's the hard work. "They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and I make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." In life, it's a common question to ask, how much does it cost? Or we always try to get something for the least amount of money, right? Something good, but pay the least for it. That's just common sense, right? We want to get a good deal. But with the Lord, it just works the opposite. See, God gave His best for the least. God gave His Son for those who didn't deserve it, the least of society, those who were the worst of society. God gave His best. He gave His all, the Son, His only Son, Jesus Christ. And are we willing to give our best in order to intentionally connect with those around us that are not just our buddies, but those who are quite different from us in our communities, in our neighborhoods, in our schools, in our workplaces? What can you do in order to build bridges in your life with those God has brought to you beyond your Christian bubble for those of us who are believers? I hope that every believer here comes to worship together as we do now, and participates in some kind of group during the week, a fellowship group that can support and encourage us and hold us accountable. But beyond that, we spend our time connecting with people, building relationships with our neighbors, talking to our coworkers, going out to do things with them if the opportunity comes up, so that we can connect with them, that we can share who Christ is in our life with them as we become friends with them. This is what our life is to be about. So oftentimes we get so busy doing things in church, we don't have any time for people who don't believe in Christ. And that's just not good. That's not good at all. So evaluate your life as I evaluate mine. You know, for as pastors, we work with Christians. So it's really hard sometimes to build relationships with people who don't believe, because the nature of our work is to encourage you guys who believe in Christ. And so we really have to make an effort to connect with people who don't believe in Christ in our lives. So we can adapt to people that are not like us so that we can share Christ with them. So let's get to work. Let's get to work this week and see how we can intentionally connect and build bridges with others. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word and for how you encourage us to go beyond our limitations, and that you would give us the creativity and the ability and the movement of your Spirit in our hearts and how to connect and build bridges with those that you've brought into our lives. Lord, open our eyes to those where there is opportunity. Open our ears to listen to the needs that they have. Give us open minds to grasp and understand their language of their life so that we can help them, that we can speak to them the love that you have for them in a way that they can interact with and understand and then come to faith in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.